Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard that, they fell prostrated, and they were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Some years ago, England's national television network, the BBC TV, sent its star journalist Malcolm Muggeridge to India to do a documentary on Mother Teresa. The BBC wanted to televise her and her sisters picking up the dying in the slums of Calcutta and taking them to a shelter run by the sisters. At the shelter, the dying were washed up and cared for, as Mother Teresa put, within the sight of a loving face. The shelter to which they were brought was once a temple to the Hindu goddess Kali. It's dimly lit by tiny windows high up in the walls. The television crew had not anticipated the poor lighting inside the building, and had not brought any portable lights with them. They concluded that it was useless to try to film the sisters working because the film just wouldn't turn out. But someone suggested that they do it anyway. Perhaps some of the footage would be usable. To everyone's surprise, the footage filmed inside the shelter turned out to be absolutely spectacular. The whole interior was bathed in a mysterious warm light. Technically speaking, the camera crew said, the results were impossible to explain. Muggeridge had his own theory about the mysterious light. He explains it in his best-selling book, Something Beautiful for God. He writes there, Mother Teresa's home for the dying is overflowing with love. One senses this immediately on entering it. This love is luminous, like the halos artists have seen and made visible round the heads of the saints. I find it not at all surprising that the luminosity should register on photographic film. What Muggeridge is talking about is not a figment of his imagination. It is something that is well documented in biblical and spiritual literature. For example, the book of Exodus says that when Moses came down from the mountain after talking with God, the Israelites saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become. They were afraid to come near him. Likewise, the spiritual director of St. Elizabeth of Hungary wrote in a letter that when Elizabeth came from prayer, people often saw her face shining marvelously and light coming out from her eyes like rays from the sun. When my grandmother was dying, my mom's mom, Mom got on a bus to be with her mother as she died. Unfortunately, the bus didn't make it there in time. However, the nurses told my mother that Grandma had been raising her arms in the air shortly before she died, as if praising God, and that a slight glow was present in the room as she passed to the next life. I've come to find out in doing my family tree that members of my family have witnessed this same phenomena accompanying some people's deaths, and that this was not so uncommon years ago. I have seen it once myself at Penrose Hospital in Colorado Springs when I was working there as a chaplain. This brings up today's gospel, where Peter, James, and John report that suddenly on the mountain, the face of Jesus began to shine like the sun. Peter never forgot that moment. Years later, he wrote about it, saying, "We had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. That's from the second letter of Peter. There's no real way of knowing what the light was that radiated from the face of Jesus. And there's no way of knowing what the light was that radiated from the faces of Moses and the saints. And there's no way of knowing what the light was that showed up on the film footage of Mother Teresa's shelter for the dying. Perhaps, as Mugridge suggests, it was the light of God's world shining into the darkness of our world. Regardless of how it's explained, Malcolm Mugridge believes that every Christian is called upon to become a light in our darkened world. He believes that every Christian is called upon to radiate the light of Christ to the world, if not in a physical sense, at least in a metaphorical one. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." Elsewhere in his book, Mugridge, who became a Catholic before he died, gives an example of what he means. Describing a talk Mother Teresa gave at a school hall, he says, "I was watching the faces of the people as they listened to her. Every face was rapt, hanging on her words, not because of the words themselves, they were ordinary enough, but because of her. Some quality came across over and above the words that held their attention. A luminosity seemed to fill the school hall, penetrating every mind and heart. When she had finished, they all wanted to touch her hand. She looked so small and frail and tired, standing there, giving herself. Yet this, I reflected, is how we may find salvation. Giving, not receiving. Dying in order to live." Mother Teresa was a light in the darkness for these people. And this brings us to ourselves in this church. Like Moses and Jesus, and like Saint Elizabeth and Mother Teresa, we are called to be a light in the darkness of our world. Lent is a time for asking ourselves how well we are living out our calling. Lent is a time for asking ourselves how well we are letting our light shine before others so that they may see it and praise our Father in heaven. And if we aren't doing as well as we could, Lent is a time for repenting and beginning anew to live out our calling.